To extinguish an epidemic demands, one, an intelligent cooperation of people who've been educated in the simple principles of health, two, a certain amount of individual sacrifice for the benefit of the whole, three, prompt, intelligent and effective administration, and four, sufficient appliances for the requirements. Those words from the head of South Australia's Health Department ring very true today. But they were actually written by Dr. William Ramsay Smith over 100 years ago. Back then, the world was facing a different airborne respiratory disease, tuberculosis, which was wreaking havoc in Australia and much of the rest of the world. Because there was no cure for tuberculosis, prevention and treatment relied on behavioural and environmental interventions, which again rings a bell. That meant that public health professionals of the day came together with town planners and architects to work on solutions to the TB epidemic. Those efforts have been revisited in a new paper that looks at the impact of tuberculosis on the way Adelaide developed and on town planning in the 19th century and beyond. It was a time where town planners became public health crusaders, and the paper's called Consumption Crusade. I'm very pleased to welcome its co-author, Julie Collins, Research Fellow and Curator at the Architecture Museum of the University of South Australia. Welcome to Sunday Extra, Julie.
Thanks, Julian. It's really great to be here.
It's great to have you. Could you take us back to Adelaide at the turn of the 20th century, and in particular, how bad the tuberculosis epidemic was?
It was actually the main cause of mortality then, and tuberculosis, which is actually an airborne bacterial disease, was, as you mentioned, referred to as consumption because it consumed or wasted the body of the sufferers. It had coughing and with blood, chest pain, weakness, fever and weight loss, and it really was impacting the breadwinners of families quite often. There wasn't a cure and there wasn't a vaccine. So the only way they kind of really knew to treat it was through what they called the open air treatment. And this was prescription of exposure to fresh air, good food, exercise, good hygiene and isolation. And some of these occurred in sanatoria, tuberculosis sanatoria, which were built right across the country and the world as one way of trying to treat the disease.
Yeah, it's really striking how relevant all those principles are to the situation that we're facing today. How did these enduring design principles emerge and then get implemented in Adelaide around the turn of the century?
Well, I guess what we now call the epidemiology of the disease was being explored at that time, and the nature of the disease started to be better understood. And my co-author, social epidemiologist Dr. Peter Lekas, has noted how the links between people and place and housing were really starting to come to notice in the eyes of public health and town planning professionals. So there was a suite of measures intended to combat TB in the early 20th century, including South Australia being among the earliest adopters of compulsory notification in the world. Other measures which were implemented were the disinfection of houses of those who had the disease and inspection visits by nurses for the Central Board of Health. These were intended as educative to help people learn to live with the disease and not to spread it. But the problem was that observations of these housing conditions and overcrowding really led to stigma and shame being cast upon those who were suffering with the disease, especially when they were unable to work, something which was actually caused by the disease rather than being a contributing factor to contracting it in the first place.
It's fascinating stuff. And look, I think it's probably fair to say, Julie, that when we think about town planning, we don't naturally tend towards extravagant or exciting descriptions, but that wasn't the case back then. Town planners were described as things like miracle workers, crusaders, missionaries. Could you give us a sense of what the town planning movement was like and its association with public health professionals back then?
Well, the professions of public health and town planning both developed from the same desire to improve the health and living conditions of the citizens, and environmental interventions were a part of this. It was really interesting how they saw themselves as crusaders, and one of the weapons these crusaders saw, and this is their words, was the science of design. They believed the design of spaces, both from room interiors, buildings, streets and towns, could be reworked as therapeutic and preventative instruments for public health. And the interventions they recommended were on two levels, one on the level of the building, which was really a focus of the architects, and and then on the level of the town for the town planners. So in terms of buildings, they were looking at better design through the replacement of what they called slums with houses that had better design principles, such as things we take for granted, hopefully, windows in each room which open, good ventilation, washable surfaces, damp proofing, and enough rooms for inhabitants. But not everyone could afford to live in a new house. And one of the interesting things was that sleepouts, where verandas were enclosed with fly wire, became a common way of enabling this sleeping in the open air for health, as well as providing an extra room in crowded homes and flats. And I'm sure that lots of the listeners have these kind of sleepouts on the back of their homes and know them well. In terms of the town planning aspect and the design of towns and cities, they really saw that the layout of blocks and streets so that air, light and space could be maximised and dust and dirt could be minimised were what they were aiming for. Mm. And with TB able to be carried on the dust, the composition of the streets was a focus with wood blocking and then asphalt and curbing being introduced. And Walter Burley Griffin, the designer of Canberra, actually stated less dust leads to less disease. Mm. So these things helped in terms of the transmission of the disease, but then street planting as well. They understood that that not only cut down the dust, but it actually improved the environment in terms of the health and well-being generally of people. Street planting and the use of trees, pine trees, especially in terms of tuberculosis, were often to be found around sanatoria landscapes because they had a belief in the efficacious nature of pine vapours, which today we can see in some of the names of disinfectants we have on the shelves.
I think I owe clean, I know what you mean. Julie, you say tuberculosis disease shaped the Adelaide that we know today. Did that legacy provide benefits in terms of coronavirus and facing the current pandemic?
Well, I think there's no doubt about the fact that the public parks, which had been developed in that 19th and 20th century for the health benefits, really came into their own during lockdown. And a lot of people having to be within a certain distance of their home noticed the benefits of having fresh air and open space available for them to exercise and to get that mental health benefits of being in a green space. So that was really one benefit. I think there are other things, however, which have been forgotten, and quite often people who are stuck in buildings where windows are fixed and don't open are kind of not so happy about that. So some of those things to do with ventilation really need to be looked at again.
Yes, it does very much feel like those issues are coming back on the agenda, which I suppose leads to the question, after this intense alliance between town planners, architects and public health professionals, did that sort of alliance wane over time? If so, why? And do you get the sense that things are turning around now?
Well, over the 20th century, we noticed right across the board there was increased professionalisation and specialisation, and the medical and design professions really focused in and became more specialised. And this has benefits in terms of the knowledge, but also creates a bit of a siloing effect, which we see today. One of the things we noticed in this research was how closely these groups were collaborating in the past in times of crisis, with doctors publishing information in town planning and architecture journals. And you could actually find building design plans being published in medical journals too. So I really think that the professions, which developed from, you know, a similar goal in the past, could be collaborating a lot more today. I mean, the design professions can bring spatial analysis from the room scale right up to the city scale into the conversation and look at those mechanisms, which could help, because I don't think COVID is probably going to be the last pandemic we see, unfortunately.
No, indeed. And I suppose it sort of begs the question, do you think that social distancing in particular will need to be incorporated into town planning and the like more aggressively in the future?
Well, it's interesting. We've got a lot of faith. We've got wonderful medical scientists doing incredible work, and we've got vaccines being developed and treatments being developed. But it's interesting to know that tuberculosis successfully had vaccines and treatments developed in the mid-20th century. And across Australia, it all got rolled out, and TB is quite prevented here. Unfortunately, though, it hasn't been rolled out fully on a global scale, with, I think, 1.4 million people being cured by TB globally, with a real problem being in Asia. So there's still work to be done. So it's not just about what we call the developed world, but it's really looking at what can town planners and architects do in places where, you know, social distancing, overcrowding and lack of facilities and vaccines could be in the future.
Absolutely. It really does underscore the importance of getting those basics right and those enduring design principles so eloquently articulated years ago, very, very relevant today. Julie Collins, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
And Dr. Julie Collins is the curator at the Architecture Museum at the University of South Australia. And she's the co-author of a new paper in Planning Perspectives about South Australia's town planners called Consumption Crusade.